But this morning, we're going to continue our series of looking at people who have encountered Jesus, people who have met with Jesus through John's Gospel. And so far in our series, we've heard how Jesus gave that real sense of direction to people, how Jesus welcomed people who had been rejected or pushed away, how Jesus stood alongside those who had been condemned, how he comforted those who were mourning, and how we thought about last week when the snow was all around us, we thought about how Jesus served when no one else wanted to serve. Well, today's encounter is very different. In our reading today, we hear that the circumstances of Jesus have moved on from that time when he was welcomed with the crowds waving their palm branches. Now Jesus is condemned. No one speaks on his behalf. Jesus is rejected, but nobody draws alongside him. Jesus is beaten, but no one is there to comfort him. Jesus is mocked, and no one says a word. Today, we meet Pontius Pilate. I wonder how you feel when you hear that name. David mentioned earlier about sometimes we cheer and sometimes we boo. When Pontius Pilate appears on the scene, well, here we go. Boo. He's kind of one of those figures, isn't he? One of the bad guys, perhaps, we think. A bit like when the pantomime villain appears on the stage. We all want to boo and hiss. And Pilate has gone down in history as one of the bad guys. What he was actually doing was doing his job. He had a very important job. He was an official of the Roman Empire, appointed by Emperor Tiberius. And he served as governor of Judea from AD 26 to AD 36. That moment in time, he was doing his job in the time of Jesus. An important role. It meant that he acted as on behalf of the Roman Emperor in that particular patch of the Roman Empire. He was responsible for making sure that the taxes were paid. Ooh, that's a different another one, isn't it? He was there to keep the peace. The Romans liked that. You know, the Romans liked things to be nice and peaceful. Once they governed an area, once everything was under their control, they were quite happy for the locals to have their religions and have their customs and do things their way. Just so long as everyone knew that the Romans were in charge and that they didn't forget it. Just as long as everyone knew that really Caesar was Lord of all. As everyone agreed with that, things were fine. But these Jews in Jerusalem were known to be troublemakers, especially around the time of Passover. And this year there was trouble again. And Pilate was being asked to make a decision about a man that they called Jesus. They'd already found him guilty. They'd called him a blasphemer. And as such, he deserved to be executed. But of course, only Pilate had the authority to make that decision. Let's read from John chapter 18. Then the Jewish leaders took Jesus from Caiaphas, the high priest, to the palace of the Roman governor. By now it was early morning. And to avoid ceremonial uncleanness, they did not enter the palace because they wanted to be able to eat the Passover. So Pilate came out to them and asked, "What charges are you bringing against this man?" "If he were not a criminal," they replied, we would not have handed him over to you. Pilate said, take him yourselves and judge him by your own law. But we have no right to execute anyone, they said. This took place to fulfill what Jesus had said about the kind of death he was going to die. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus and asked him, are you the king of the Jews? Is that your own idea? Jesus asked. Or did others talk to you about me? Am I a Jew? Pilate replied. Your own people and chief priests handed you over to me. What is it you have done? Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place. You are a king then, said Pilate. Jesus answered, you say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. What is truth? Retorted Pilate. What is truth? That's the question that Pilate asks Jesus. And it's a question that has been asked through the ages. It's a question that is as relevant today as it ever has been. What is truth? You know, we live in an age, don't we, where we seem to be surrounded by fake news. Fake news everywhere. Can you actually believe the things that you're being told, even on the news or through the newspapers, or even by people that we are supposed to be able to trust? I heard this week that down in New Zealand, the England cricket team were all bowled out for 58. That can't be true, can it? Well, it was true, yes. But we see all around us, don't we, examples of news stories being twisted and manipulated. Even things like our wonderful Facebook that we rely on so much. People taking that data and twisting it to slightly change the way that we see things and the way that things are presented to us. Always for their advantage in some way. What is truth? Now, some people say that truth is relative. Some people say that what's true for you is not necessarily true for me. And that what's true for me might not be true for you. Well, I've got to say, I'm all in favour of people having different views and different opinions. I think that's a healthy thing. When it comes to what is true, surely there needs to be more of a certainty to it. From this reading that we've had this morning, this incident in the life of Jesus, this gives us a good example of people's different understandings about what the truth is. As we think about that scene that we read about, who is innocent and who's guilty? As we think about that reading, who is powerful and who is powerless? Who can we trust? We kind of have two views, don't we, in this reading. First of all, we have the religious leaders' view of truth. Remind you again of verse 28. Let me read it. Then the Jewish leaders took Jesus from Caiaphas to the palace of the Roman governor. By now it was early morning. And to avoid ceremonial uncleanness, they did not enter the palace because they wanted to be able to eat the Passover. You see, these religious leaders, they had gone through a series of cleansing rituals that would have enabled them to share in the Passover meal a little later. And the problem for them that they faced was this. If they had entered Pilate's house, that would have been entering the house of a Gentile, of a non-Jew. And their understanding of the law meant that if they did that, then they would be unclean. And they would not be able to share in the Passover meal. Doesn't that strike you as very strange? These leaders who have set up a sham of a trial, who have falsely accused Jesus, are wanting to maintain this external appearance of being holier than holy. We're the clean ones. We're the ones who have got it right. These religious leaders are so concerned with keeping their own rules and regulations that they've completely missed the point that God's own Son is in their presence. But you see, Jesus doesn't fit into their understanding of what a good religious person is. In their eyes, it was all about keeping the rules and regulations. In their eyes, it was all about keeping the undesirables away. Making sure that the things of God were controlled by an elite few. So when Jesus came and talked about a different kind of kingdom, when Jesus came and spoke about God's love and mercy being for all people, and then when he lived out a life that demonstrated that, they were challenged by it. And then when Jesus had time for the outcast, and when he reached out to the Samaritan, and when he touched the leper, and then when he turned the tables over in the temple's courts, that just didn't fit in with their view of religion. And the way that they saw God. You see, they wanted to control all the power and the prestige. But Jesus came with a different message. His kingdom was a kingdom of service and sacrifice. In Matthew's gospel, we read that Jesus rebuked those same religious leaders with these words. It says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former." These leaders had put minor trivial things while ignoring the major issues. You know, that can happen so easily, can't it? It's so easy for us even to concentrate on the superficial elements of faith while neglecting the important things that we're called to be about. We can see it as a duty to come to church each week. But then we allow Jesus to have no impact on the rest of the week for us. We can talk in spiritual, churchy language, and we can look spiritual. But what difference is the life that we are living actually making to those around us? You know, we can even within churches, we can smile and talk about loving each other, and yet we could rip each other to shreds when we go home. That's the danger for us. It's so easy for us to neglect the important things. What is truth? It's what Pilate asked. Well, it certainly wasn't to be found in the empty traditions of religion. There was another version of truth on offer that day. And that version was the version that Pilate represented. And his version of the truth says that it's the powerful ones. It's the ones with the biggest armies. It's the ones with the most resources that are surely in control of things. There we had in our reading that day, Pilate, a man who that day in Jerusalem represented the whole of the Roman Empire. This vast, powerful movement of people. An empire that stretched across the world, all the way from Britain across to the shores of North Africa, from Greece to the Middle East. That was the scale of the Roman Empire. Millions of people. And that day, in Jerusalem, Pilate represented them. So what question does he ask? He says to Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" What does Jesus respond to him? He says, "Well, is that your own idea? Did you come up with that? Or did others talk to you about me? What do you think about me, Pilate? What do you think? Who do you think I am?" Pilate says, "Well, it was your people who handed you over to me. What have you done?" Of course, Jesus couldn't answer that question because he had done nothing. He was the innocent one. And so instead, Jesus speaks to Pilate about his kingdom. A kingdom that is not of this world. Not the kind of kingdom where people have to fight over it. Not the kind of kingdom that is about power or domination. But a kingdom where God's rule and reign are known. A kingdom where King Jesus takes his rightful place on the throne. Nothing like the Roman Empire idea of a kingdom. And as Pilate hears these words from Jesus, he says, "So you are a king then?" "I've got you, you are a king." And Jesus replies, yes, you say I am a king. You say I'm a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. And so that's our third version of the truth. We've had the view of truth of the religious establishment. We've had the version of truth from the ruling Roman authorities. And then we have Jesus. I had the privilege of leading the Lent group at the library on Tuesday afternoon. The different folks from the different churches have led them in turn, and it was good to share that. And you know, I think by being involved in that, I'm in danger of having some culture brought into my life. I'm not a great art person, really. I like to look at a good picture, but I found it intriguing that you can look at some of these really ancient pictures, and they speak to us today, especially if you read them alongside the Bible reading, the Bible verse that they relate to. This is a painting by an Italian painter, painted in the 13th century. Painted by Duccio, his name is. And it was one of a wood painted on a wood panel. And it's one of a series of talking of the life of Jesus, and it's called Christ Before Pilate. When you look at that picture, what do you see? What do you see in it when you look at that picture? Well, perhaps the first thing that I noticed was that the artist has portrayed the Jewish leaders, the religious leaders, there crowded on the outside. They can't cross the threshold and go into Pilate's house. They're there crowded. They want to know what's going on, but they can't go into the house. Because that's their view of the truth. They don't want to become unclean. And then we have portrayed the might of the Roman Empire. Soldiers. Can you see the soldiers standing behind at the back there? Their spears and their helmets. The might of an army. And there on the right-hand side, we've got Pontius Pilate sitting down, a sign of authority. And on his head, can you see that he's got a laurel wreath around his head? That was the Roman symbol of victory and honour. He was a powerful man. That was his view of where the power lies. But then, right in the center, alone, unarmed, his hands bound, is Jesus. And so, as Pilate asks that question, what is truth? The answer is standing right in front of him. Jesus is the truth. You know, that word truth appears in John's Gospel 23 times. More times than in any other book of the Bible. John wants us to understand just who Jesus is. Jesus, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus, who said, if you hold to my teaching, you really are my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The truth will set you free. Truth, not in ritual or regulations. Truth, not in regiments or riches, but truth found in a relationship with Jesus, the King of Kings, the one whose crown was not encrusted with jewels, but was studded with thorns. The one whose throne was not made of gold, but was a blood-stained cross. The King who invites us into a different kind of kingdom. The kind of kingdom where the King lies down his life. The King lays down his life for his people so that we might share in his new life. So what are we going to do with that kind of King? We have a choice, just as those religious leaders had a choice, just as Pilate had a choice. Are we going to welcome him, or are we going to reject him? What choice are we going to make? Let me just read the choice that they made. Pilate went out again to the Jews gathered there and said, "I find no basis for a charge against him." But it is your custom for me to release to you one prisoner at the time of the Passover. Do you want me to release the king of the Jews? They shouted back, "No, not him. Give us Barabbas." Now Barabbas had taken part in an uprising. Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. The soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They clothed him in a purple robe, and they went up to him again and again, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they slapped him in the face. They slapped the truth in the face because they couldn't accept it for themselves. What are we going to do with that same truth? Will we receive Jesus into our lives? Will we accept his truth in our lives? Will we build our lives on the truth that he offers to us? Or will we join in with the condemnation of the crowd and turn away from him? The choice is there for each one of us. How will we respond today? How will we respond in this week ahead to Jesus, the King of Kings, the one who is all truth? Let's pray together. The words of an old hymn. Lord Jesus, King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall be the glory. Lord, forgive us when we turn away from you. Forgive us when we turn away from your truth. Forgive us when we seek the truth in worldly things, in powerful things, in mighty things. Forgive us when we seek the truth in traditions and rituals. Forgive us when we pretend to be something that we're not. Lord Jesus, help each one of us to see you for who you truly are, and to receive you into our lives, to acknowledge you as King of Kings, to humbly bow before you. Lord Jesus, rule and reign in my life, in our church, and in this world.